We're open for business live.
This is Sheffield Live.
Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. If your business has financial challenges requiring professional insights and solutions, Begbies Trainer can help. We provide advice designed to help people and companies deal successfully with debt and financial problems. And wherever possible, we will find the best solution that allows for active steps towards financial recovery. Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. We're committed to providing a rapid and responsive service based on in-depth experience, professionalism and independent specialist expertise. Contact our Sheffield office or visit begbies-trainergroup.com.
We're open for business live.
Good morning. It's just after 9 o'clock. It's Friday. It's the 7th of July, 2017. I'm Jamie Veitch. I'm your host for the next hour for Sheffield Live's business and social enterprise programme, Business Live. And we're broadcasting live from the Sheffield Live studio in the showroom workstation building in the centre of Sheffield. The show's going out on 93.2 FM and through our internet live stream. However you are listening to the show right now, you can also listen through the podcast later from the Sheffield Live website. And talking about podcasts, if you didn't hear last week's programme, it was a corker. It was fantastic. We talked about growing gourds and vegetable-powered tourism, using the power of vegetables as a catalyst for community, for learning, for education, and for growing local food businesses all over the world. That was Pam Warhurst. She is the founder of Incredible Edible. It started in Todmorden. It became a global movement stretching from Canada to New Zealand. And Pam was on the show doing a quick 3-minute interview about working with other social enterprises and supporting local businesses as well. Alongside Pam, we had Mark Ramsell of Plot 44, a Sheffield social enterprise, turning disused allotments in the Rivlin Valley into something new, something different, and something pretty unique. And Natalie Mosley and Paula Walsh were in the studio with us last week. They run Lucy May Lingerie, and they gave us a detailed and in-depth interview about how they left their safe, secure jobs. They'd each been working in the lingerie business for 24 years for large businesses, for international brands, but they've started their own business, Lucy May, and they gave a really interesting description of how they've built a customer profile for their customers, but a profiler, a persona, if you like, for Lucy May itself, and how Lucy May now is a character who participates in online fora populated by their ideal customers all over the world. It was fascinating stuff. It was really, really worth hearing. And there's plenty also about overcoming the challenges of setting up a new business. So if you didn't hear last week's programme, then you can catch it on the Sheffield Live website. Go to sheffieldlive.org, look up radio shows, find Business Live, and you'll be able to find the show from last Friday, the 30th of June. But enough about last week. What's going on today? Well, here in the studio with me, I am delighted that we have Rob Drummond in the studio. He runs True Story Selling. He's an author. He's written a book called The Marketing Nurture System, which is absolutely fantastic, and Simple Story Selling. And he's going to tell us all about those today and much, much more. But before we turn to Rob, what's been going on in business and in social enterprise this week? Well, Sheffield Sumo Digital, well known as a powerhouse in the games industry worldwide, they've snapped up a Gateshead business this week as Sumo looks to grow even further after having been acquired by a private equity firm, Perwin, last year. Atom Hawk, founded in 2009, it's the Gateshead business, which Sumo Digital has acquired. Atom Hawk works on blockbuster movies and games across PCs, consoles, VR, virtual reality platforms. The terms of the deal have not been disclosed, but it brings 29 further staff to the group. And Atom Hawk continues to operate as an autonomous business with the same management and creative teams. And it's been about 10 months since Sumo was acquired last year by Perwin in a multi-million pound deal. The 2017 Tour de Yorkshire boosted the region's economy by almost £64 million, according to independent research. The weekend took place from the 28th to the 30th of April. It saw 2.2 million spectators line the route, and they spent 8% more this year than they did last year. Accommodation spend saw a 6.5% increase this year from last year, and non-accommodation items, food and drink, souvenirs, transport, they rose too by about 9%. The race was televised in 180 countries, and it was watched by over 9 million TV viewers across Eurosport and ITV4. And so Gary Verity, he's the chief executive of Welcome to Yorkshire, he commented that this has been marvellous news for Yorkshire, and the public support this year was truly overwhelming. And the economic impact study that revealed these figures was carried out by Leeds Beckett University. Now, experts have warned this week that there's a big job to do in educating businesses about the benefits of apprenticeship, particularly the apprenticeship levy. And you'll know that the apprenticeship levy, which came into force in April this year and applies to large businesses, is now in force. But a fifth of apprenticeship levy playing employers still don't understand how the scheme works, even though it was introduced 3 months ago. Open University published the research this week, and it also revealed that 2% of senior managers questioned knew nothing about the levy at all. But 85% of the people that they questioned said the levy will have a positive impact on their organisation and should bring or benefit productivity in the UK and the economy. So the levy is paid by businesses with a payroll of more than £3 million per annum. If that is you, then you are being charged 0.5% of your total wage bill under the apprenticeship levy. In return, the government adds 10 pence to every pound paid by businesses to put towards training apprentices. Levy's been met with mixed reactions by many, but the new research by the Open University is interesting, and you can find that on the Open University's website. A few events coming up that are worth knowing about. Next week, there's something called BizFest. That's next Thursday, the 13th of July, 4 p.m. through till 7 p.m. And that's at the Hilton Sheffield Hotel. It's being run by Innova Consultancy Limited in cooperation with Envision. And it's their first ever BizFest, celebrating entrepreneurship by the canal. They have an international guest speaker, Timber Harker, who's a business innovation and ICT-driven services specialist from the Netherlands. And the session also includes breakout sessions, an interactive workshop for female entrepreneurs, a discussion on the needs of migrants setting up businesses in the UK, a look at how to use gaming to build entrepreneurial skills, and a chance to test games yourself. It also includes a barbecue by the canal. So that's next Thursday, 13th of July, BizFest. Details are on Eventbrite, eventbrite.co.uk. If you look up BizFest Sheffield, you should find it. But as ever, I'll tweet the link to that event out at the end of the programme from my Twitter account, Jamie Veach. So you'll be able to find it and follow the details to register there. A few other things coming up. I'm going to mention a couple of forthcoming events at the end of the programme today, but I think it's almost time to turn to our guest today. Before we do, quick reminder, you can get in touch with us if there's something going on that I've mentioned and you want to comment on that, how it will affect your business or your social enterprise. If there's a topic you want us to cover, if you want to put yourself or someone else forward to be on the programme, then it's really easy to do so. Just email jamie@sheffieldlive.org. Or send a text to 07 904 272 200. Or you can find me, Jamie Veach, or Sheffield Live on Twitter as well. And whether you're running a business already or thinking of starting one, or a social enterprise, whether you're an employer or an employee or self-employed, put yourself forward, get in touch, let us know what you think. We'd love to hear from you. So let's turn now to our guest today, Rob Drummond. Rob, good morning. Thanks very much for coming in today.
Morning, Jamie.
How are you?
Very good, thanks.
Good, good. So a nice walk down to the studio here in Sheffield.
I'm a big fan of walking, yeah. Try and walk as far as I can, as often as I can. I think it's an important part of being a person, basically.
So, yeah, and you get a real sense of place, I suppose, don't
Absolutely,
you?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, and I was taken by your description of yourself on your own website. You self-confessed stoic northern grump. Well, you're laughing at that. Don't look too grumpy yet. But also a barefoot runner.
That's right.
Traveller, husband, archer, sports fan, and much, much more. Mm-hmm. Binge listener to podcasts, deep thinker, drinker of craft beer. Wow. And there's more. But also, fundamentally, as you say, and again, in your own words, you're on a mission.
That's right.
Tell us about that mission.
So, essentially, I help people to communicate their uniqueness by telling better stories about what they do. What I see, I mean, we'll talk about this a lot more, but I see a lot of people talking about the features and the benefits of what they do. And I think there's a real need for narrative and entertainment fundamentally as well. So that basically is my mission, is to help people who do valuable work, who help specific groups of people achieve certain things or save time or earn money, to help those people bring their message to more people. That's what I'm trying to do.
Okay, great. And so that is, if you like, a far more unique proposition than some people who might describe themselves as, say, marketing experts or email automation system or CRM experts are putting out.
Yes.
You're actually describing in values-driven terms how you help your clients. So who do you work with? What sort of businesses, what sort of people do you work with?
It really varies. So I really look for companies that are delivering transformational products and services. So what do I mean by that? I mean products and services where you'll normally invest quite a bit of money or quite a bit of time, maybe one or two, and it will change your life in some way for the better. So often things like training courses are a good example. Anything to do with like education.
Yeah.
But it can also be practical skills as well. I was interested by you talking about the apprenticeship levy.
Yes.
Before, I think there's a real sort of need for that, because I think going on an apprenticeship is another example of this kind of transformation that we need more of, basically.
Yes, and that's interesting. I mean, we've had people on the program who really invest in proper apprenticeships, so in making sure there are proper apprenticeships available in their businesses, and then they reap the benefits themselves, and so do the people they train, as opposed to sort of tick box apprenticeships which businesses set up but actually don't bother to do anything about.
Yeah. Well, that was very much my background. So I came to Sheffield because I was a student here about 10-12 years ago now. And before I did that, I did a scheme called the Year in Industry Scheme.
Yes.
So I worked in Warrington for a year for a company that made air filters, which is, I'm sure you can imagine, is fascinating stuff for an 18-year-old.
I bet.
And then as part of my university degree, I went down south and worked for a CRM company.
Yeah.
So CRM in my world stands for Customer Relationship Management.
Yeah.
Which is basically a fancy word for a database.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you want to sell databases to people, don't call them databases. Call them CRM systems or marketing automation systems is the latest version. So I spent a year working for a CRM company down near London. And I feel like that was a great education, because it taught me about direct marketing as well. I think a lot of people now just focus on email and social media. Mm. And I think there's actually there's a big opportunity in direct mail as well. So yes. It taught me about that in practical terms, and it led to a big sort of diversion that has led me to where I am today. And I feel like you have to allow these diversions to happen by giving yourself practical experience, by doing apprenticeships and by doing work experience and following the diversions, basically.
Well, that's certainly been the case with you, hasn't it? And going and actually knocking on businesses' doors, offering them one thing, led to you being asked to do other things and going down a certain path.
It did, yeah. So I can tell you a story about that. So after about 4 years working for the CRM company, I basically got to a point, and I just kind of felt that my career had kind of stagnated. I'm sure like many people listening can sort of relate to that, where you feel like you've been in the same chair a little bit too long. And I thought, well, you know, I'll just go and do it myself. I mean, yes. I felt like I was good at what I did. In hindsight, I didn't have any real business experience. I didn't really know what I was doing, which meant that, you know, there was nothing to stop me from doing it, I guess, because I didn't know any better. So I set out selling SMS text messaging services to local businesses, which, you know, in hindsight, was a great idea that nobody wanted. Right. And, and I ended up walking around local shops in Beaconsfield, which is near where I used to live, near London. And just talking to shop owners and asking them, you know, did they want to speak to me about text messaging? And I walked into a hair salon one day and purely by chance spoke to the business owner. And he said, no, I'm very sorry, someone already deals with my taxes. I said to him, no, not taxes, like like text messaging, like on your phone. And he goes, well, I don't think I really need that, but can you get me ranked on Google, you know, in the Google rankings? And I did the sort of standard thing that I usually do, a kind of yawn nonchalantly. I said, yeah, sure, I can do that. So we eventually have a meeting. I went back a week later, dressed in a suit, because I was still very formal in those days. Yeah. You know, the corporate indoctrination hadn't worn off. And we perched on a bench in his hair salon, and there's people having their hair dried, and the dryers around us, like, and I showed him this website that I'd knocked up in WordPress. And he said, yeah, how much is it going to cost? I said, oh, you know, I don't know, like £300. Mm-hmm. Which is stupid. Like, you know, if there's any web designers listening to this, do not charge £300 for a website, at least at a zero.
You need to value your time and skills.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And he goes, £300? He did the car salesman thing where he sucked in through his teeth and he went, £300, that's far too expensive. Mm. If I quote in the past for £100, and I went, yeah, well, fine, I'll do it. So that sort of led me to be a web designer.
Yeah.
And it led to me being on like a grant. I call it now a Rob's Grand Tour of Marketing. So I decided to be a web designer, and a friend recommended that I contact some local networking groups because I needed to pick up some more clients. Yeah. I said, well, you know, that makes sense. So I contacted some groups, and I contacted a group called The Network, who meet at a golf course near High Wycombe.
Yeah.
At 7 o'clock in the morning on Thursday mornings. And they got back to me and said, we're really sorry, but we've already got a web designer in the group. Do you want to come along in another capacity? So again, I sort of yawned nonchalantly. Said, yeah, sure. What would you like to hear about? So I got some cards printed. Rob Drummond, Google AdWords expert, which was sort of true because I'd done some AdWords work for the CRM company.
Yes.
But I hadn't been actively managing AdWords. I hadn't been running it as a business. And I went along and I spoke to people about my budding yet non-existent AdWords management service. Yep. And I think actually networking was really a blessing for me at the time because it allowed me to, I think when you're forced to talk about what you're doing, it crystallizes it in your mind.
Yes, you have to be able to describe it succinctly and clearly.
Yeah, and people ask you questions like, how does this work? How does the pricing structure work? What are your payment terms? And you have to figure all of that out really, really quickly. So,
yes.
Yep. But it also allowed me to build some trust with people that I was credible, and that even though I didn't have a big established client base, that I, you know, was trustworthy enough to scope out a few projects. So I ended up going down a bit of an AdWords route. I ended up building a small AdWords agency, which is mostly me and then one assistant for a bit.
Yeah.
And I was doing AdWords work, and within my AdWords work, I've always worked with companies that are what I would describe lead generating companies rather than e-commerce companies. So they're companies who are trying to generate inquiries, and maybe they'll have to nurture that inquiry for a period of time. And I was generating leads, and, you know, in AdWords, we talk about conversion. So conversion is when someone phones you up or opts in on the website. And I was generating conversions. I'd have an agreed, you know, cost per conversion that I try to work to with the clients. And to my eyes, things were going great. I was like, yes, I'm good at this. I'm going to build an agency. And then, you know, one morning, I just get phone calls from these clients, and they'd say, you know, we're really sorry, Rob, but these leads, they just haven't led to any business, so we're going to have to end the project. And I was pulling my hair out over this.
Yes.
And I've always sent my own emails, and I've always written my own story-based emails. So I used a system called AWeber for a long time, which is an email delivery system.
Yes.
And I haven't always just done AdWords. Like, AdWords is always a front-end sale for me, like Rob's gateway products. And actually what I looked to do after that was to sell email, you know, email sequences and do conversion rate optimization and, you know, create websites and do all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, so create the materials and the systems and processes and the content as well.
Exactly, yeah. But with a big thing on the content, because what I've always found is that there's a big, especially in web design, there's a big focus on the structure of the site, whereas actually content is the biggest conversion factor. Yeah. Content, you know, if you have a site that has no styling, no images, it's just black text on a white background, and it has the right text, and you've got the right people, it will still convert better than a beautiful website that has the wrong content for the wrong people.
Yes.
So yeah, we've always been focusing on the content really. But I noticed at the time that two of my most interesting clients used the CRM system Infusionsoft.
Yes, indeed.
So I don't know if we need to explain.
Well, I think it's probably worth mentioning what Infusionsoft is, because it's perhaps seen as higher-end system compared with things like MailChimp.
Yes.
Totally different set of capabilities, far, far more capability.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Infusionsoft came into existence because there's an American marketer called Dan Kennedy, who, if your listeners are students in marketing, everyone should go and buy Dan Kennedy's books. He's very credible, knows what he's doing. And he needed a system to automate his marketing after people opted in. And he knew the guys who founded Infusionsoft, and Infusionsoft was created to cater to Dan Kennedy's needs.
Yes, indeed.
Because Dan Kennedy was like, I don't want to just use MailChimp or AWeber and have, you know, a set fixed sequence of emails go out. I want to customize the communications that people get from me based on things that they do, based on things that they tell me, based on things that they click on. And that's what Infusionsoft was created to do. So compared to something like MailChimp, where you just set out a fixed series of emails, so someone might fill in a web form and then you email them every 2 days for you know, a month or whatever it is, with Infusionsoft you can really start to customize the customer journey based on information that they've told you, either information that they've submitted into a web form, information that they've told you in person that you've stored in your CRM system. And it means that you can start to then branch people different ways depending on things that you know about them, to send them highly relevant conversations that speak to their specific situation.
Yes. And so people might describe it as a system that's sort of tag-based rather than list-based. Is that correct?
Correct, yes. Yeah. So systems like MailChimp, one of my big frustrations with MailChimp was that if you had, like, say, 3 lead magnets on your website, so a lead magnet is a giveaway, for example.
Yes.
If you have three lead magnets on your website, you might have 3 different lists. If someone subscribes to all 3 lead magnets, they end up in your MailChimp list 3 times, and you pay for that person 3 times.
You pay for it 3 times, and you're not able to send appropriate emails necessarily.
And you can't move them from one list to another.
Yeah.
If I say, so maybe you have a list of prospects and then a list of customers who've bought the product. When they buy the product, you want to stop the email sequence that's selling the product and start the sequence that gets them to consume the product and encourages referrals.
Yes.
But you can't do that very easily in MailChimp.
No.
It just isn't possible.
Whereas in a tag-based system, such as Infusionsoft, which, as you say, was built from the ground up to serve the needs of a marketer, or a very well-known marketer, Dan Kennedy, you can do that. And there are now other tag-based systems as well, of course.
Very much so. And this is a big growing area. So Infusionsoft was the first one. I still love it. I think it's a great system, but that's partly because I know it. But there are other very, very credible tag-based options that are very affordable for even the smallest business that allow you to do this.
Yeah.
This sort of level of marketing automation, marketing communication that was previously only available to big companies with enterprise-level budgets.
Yes.
So now within, you know, if you can afford to set aside, you know, £100 a month, you can pay for, you know, Drip, ActiveCampaign, Infusionsoft, and get this sort of system in place to start sending people communications that are relevant to things that they've done or told you.
Excellent. And I'd just like to take a little bit of a digression based on the fact that you've mentioned a number of tools there. And it's really, really easy for people who have decided that, say, so-called marketing automation and tag-based email systems and setting up lead magnets on their website and giving people something of value in exchange for their email address and then getting them onto their list. And so it's very easy for people to start then getting fixated on the tools and looking at the tools that are available before they've worked out lots of other things that strategically they should do first. But when people do need to decide on the tools, you've done something that is a helpful piece of analysis and research to help people to actually choose the right tool for them as well, haven't you?
That's correct. Because when people, I think that when people select their CRM system, which is often, you know, when we talk about CRM systems, we also talk about the system that you're going to use to email people, mail people. When people select these systems, most people do it in the same way that they might buy a pizza. They'll just go into the shop and be like, oh, I'll have, you know, a large Hawaiian with extra pineapple. And instead it's, oh, I'll have, you know, an Infusionsoft system with 5,000 contacts, a new e-commerce add-on. And it's not that transactional because you have to, firstly, so people start with the end in mind, not the beginning in mind.
Yeah.
And you have to first think, so what data do you need to get into the system? So thinking about your customers, what information do you want to store in your system? And based on that, what interactions do you have with them? So do they visit your website? Do they come to events? Do you engage them in live chat? And based on those interactions, so based on the data and based on the interactions, what outputs do you then want? So that is where the tool comes in, because different tools will enable different outputs. So some tools will focus on email and only email.
Yeah.
Some tools will allow you to send direct mail, which, as we covered, is a big opportunity. Some tools will allow you to create Facebook custom audiences from people who are at certain stages in your funnel.
Yeah.
But you can only do that once you've thought about the data in the beginning. What data do you want to store? And what interactions are you having with your customers? And you have to do that first.
Okay, great. So data, interactions, output. And you've really, really got to analyze. You've really got to think about that.
Because once you've done that, you can then create a specific requirements document of what you're looking for. So then you can approach different vendors and say, based on the thinking that we've done, we've identified these needs. How well can you cater to them? And that puts you in a much stronger position, whereas what most people do is they just fall in love with a tool. And I'm guilty of this. I've done this. So I bought Infusionsoft because I used Aweber for a long time, which is, I think I've mentioned, is an email delivery platform.
Yes.
And I was aware of Infusionsoft for a long time. I was aware that people like Dan Kennedy and some other big-name marketers used Infusionsoft. And one day I watched a presentation by a guy called Jermaine Griggs,
yes,
who runs a business called Hear and Play. He's a great speaker. If you ever get the chance to hear him or find him on YouTube, he's really worth listening to. And Jermaine explained how he automates his business, Hear and Play, which is a multi-million dollar business that he runs with a handful of employees and an Infusionsoft account.
Yes.
And they teach people how to play music by listening to music.
Fascinating stuff.
Yeah, there's all this automation that goes on in the background. And he pulled up the hood on his Infusionsoft account and he explained what he was doing, and my jaw hit the floor, and I was like, oh my, that's like so much better than what I'm doing. So I basically made an emotional decision at that point that I wanted to base my business around Infusionsoft. And at the time I was in a fortunate position, because I was in a position where I was doing lots of AdWords work, but I kind of wanted to move away from that.
Yeah.
So I was in a position where I could really start again and build my processes around Infusionsoft. Whereas what a lot of people do is they just fall in love with the functionality of a system, but then you've already got an existing business with existing data and existing processes, and then you end up trying to tag on Infusionsoft or whatever system it is onto your existing business, and it just doesn't work because you can't get the data into it. If you can't get the data into it, it's no good. It's just an appendage to your business.
Yeah.
Whereas for me, what I've done is I've made it a core, everything that goes out, my business wouldn't run without Infusionsoft. Everything is to do with Infusionsoft. And from my work in the Infusionsoft community, I can tell you that whatever CRM system you choose, the companies who get the best returns from that system, because there's always a return on investment from all of these systems, there's always a cost and they always contribute something to your bottom line. The companies that get the best returns are the ones that make it their core business system and really put all of their eggs in the basket and learn about and really get to grips with everything the tool can use and gear everything else around that. And that's really how to succeed with kind of marketing automation, I guess.
Yeah, indeed. And there are so many companies who, I suppose, bolt it on, bolt it in, think it's something that they have to do, have noticed other people doing it, throw it in and don't use it properly.
Jim at the networking group is using such and such a tool, so therefore I should be using such and such a tool. I see this on Google as well, actually. So people go onto Google, they see their competitors on Google, they think, oh, we need to be on Google, and we need to be at number one position, but it completely misses the conversation of, is that traffic profitable? Can we convert those leads? Are the people searching for these keywords the right people in the first place? So there's lots of questions that aren't being asked, and people jump straight to the shiny objects. And
yes, they do,
and the marketing world is full of shiny objects, which sometimes is interesting and sometimes is great once you've done the hard thinking in the beginning.
Yes, and the principles and strategies of effective communication have been long-standing before the shiny objects were in existence.
This is nothing new.
No.
And this is a really great point, because marketing as an industry only really came into existence as we know it with the creation of the railway. So in the 1830s, when the railway boom happened, and railways, people forget now that railways were built very, very quickly by multiple rail operators, often building lines alongside each other to compete for the same business. But what the railways did was they pushed back the boundaries of our world. So rather than just trading with people in your local town, you could take your second produce, you could sit on a third class rail carriage, which was perilous at the time. Your chances of death are quite high.
Yep.
You could get on the Manchester to Liverpool railway, and rather than just selling in Eccles in Manchester or wherever you are, you could go to Liverpool and sell to people in Liverpool as well. And that created distance. And what distance creates is a need for branding and a need to communicate value about your products to people when you're not face-to-face in person with them.
Yeah.
And that's how marketing came about. So what we're seeing with these CRM systems, it's still an attempt to solve the problems that distance creates, because when you can't be there with people, you can't have the normal flow of conversation like we're having now. You can't ask questions so easily. You can't learn about them. And what these tools now do is sort of enable this kind of surrogate conversation where in a way you are finding out information about them, but you're storing it in your database.
Yes.
And you're using the marketing automation tools to mimic being there in person.
And that's really fascinating, isn't it? Because you're then also using conversational content that you are enabled to send out to people who want to hear from you through these tools. And you mentioned earlier something really important, that the content is absolutely crucial.
Yes.
And you said it, so in the context of a beautifully designed website with appalling content will be outperformed dramatically by a website that perhaps doesn't look wonderfully designed, but the content is exactly right for the appropriate audience and the message and so on. But you're doing the same, I suppose, with the content that you create in your nurturing emails.
Yes.
through an automation system.
Yeah.
And that then is all about developing a relationship, as you say, with people who you can't necessarily be sitting with face to face every day, but you're building a relationship of trust and even of liking you, because something that you say resonates with people.
And if you think about a conversation you'd have face to face, you wouldn't just talk 100% about how wonderful you are.
No.
And you would have...
Well, Donald Trump might.
Well, yeah, we'll talk about him in a minute. You know, you tell a few stories, you get to know people a bit. And actually, so all of the elections recently, what they have illustrated to me is that the importance of personality and narrative has been what has created the outcomes of these elections. Not logic and features and just, you know, hammering over about the same functional points.
Mm.
You know, we won't get party political and talk about, you know, I'm sure everyone who's listening knows what I'm about.
I know, yes, I think we do. And a speaker, a guest a couple of weeks ago came on the program to talk about business resilience. But he made the point of empathy and humanity in politics as well. So, it's something that lots of people have observed, certainly.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and it's almost like what you're trying to do is, so there's sort of two aspects. It's like you're trying to tell your story and communicate your value and communicate your uniqueness, but there's give and take there as well. It's like you're also trying to learn about the person that you're speaking to.
Yes, it's just not just one way broadcasting at them.
And I feel like we're very much getting over this sort of legacy of kind of broadcast marketing, where for years all of the tools were kind of broadcast tools. So you would send direct mail en masse, And it was very difficult to stimulate a conversation from that. And very difficult isn't to say impossible. So one book I recommend that people try and pick up is a book called The Book of Gossage.
Yes.
By a guy called Howard Gossage, who ran an ad agency in San Francisco in the 1960s. And Howard Gossage ran direct mail ads, but he had a conversational style. It was not a very direct sales message, but he always included a coupon on his ads that encouraged people to reply and encouraged people to respond. So what he would do is he would create one ad at a time, he'd watch all the responses, and then he'd write a second ad. So he was doing social media in the 1960s, before anyone knew what social media was.
Yes.
So none of this is new. It's all very possible, but it's this factor of building your relationship and at the same time communicating your value and your uniqueness, but not boring people endlessly. Because I think people are terribly bored by advertising and terribly bored by marketing. And if you listen to most television adverts, it's like sucking on a big... It's like eating an entire packet of Skittles all in one go. It's all sweet, sweet, joy, joy, aren't we wonderful? But there's no realness there. There's no real connection there. And it's only when someone actually exposes their vulnerabilities and some of their flaws. And it doesn't mean that you negatively judge them for that. It means that you engage with them because you see your flaws in their flaws.
Yes, quite.
Which is kind of where my work's gone now, in actually enabling people to put more of themselves in their marketing in terms of their flaws and in terms of their vulnerabilities, but in a way that builds trust and systematically moves people towards making a sale.
Yes, it's got to be true and it's got to be personal and it's got to be about you. It's got to be about your reality.
Yeah.
And people who pretend to be something they're not will be rapidly exposed as well, won't they?
Yeah. Yeah, and there's this thing in marketing at the moment where we were talking about this just before the show, or maybe last time we met, where I think there's a lot of magical thinking going on.
Yes.
Where people... You know, there's marketers selling these high end. So people know that you need to be producing content. Everyone listening to this knows that they need to be producing content and they need to be explaining
That's
what
right.
they do and all of that. You know, you don't need to listen to me to tell you that.
No, you know it. You know that that's the case.
Yeah, exactly.
But the magical thinking. How? What do you mean by that?
So yes, so there's marketers who are catering to this by offering products that so instead of putting in the work and building out a system in Infusionsoft that communicates your vulnerabilities and so on, instead of because that's actually quite a lot of work. Whereas what a lot of marketers are doing is saying, okay, spend $10,000 with me, come to my 2-day retreat, and I will drop into your Infusionsoft account my six. You know, out of the box sequences that are guaranteed in, you know, quotation marks, guaranteed to let you live on the beach while customers just deposit money in your bank account. And we know that that's far-fetched, but people still want to believe it.
People want to believe it because the price tag's so high sometimes.
And yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it communicates, you know, sometimes price does communicate that there's value in it.
Yeah.
But I think we really need to move away from this. And So I don't work with anyone who is still suffering from magical thinking because we just can't work together yet. Because people have to go through at least one failure cycle like that where they buy one of these products, they expect it to deliver a result, and they realize that it doesn't deliver a result because it doesn't know anything about their audience, it doesn't know anything about their uniqueness, it doesn't communicate any of that. Only they can do that, and only they can do that by taking responsibility for it.
Yes, quite.
Which is where we need to move to. And it's the question is, how do you take responsibility for it? Do you do it in-house, which is what I'm proposing most people need to do in some capacity, or do you work within an agency, or do you have some kind of hybrid approach?
Do you do that?
Yes.
Indeed. Well, I'd like to just pause there for some reflection. How do you do that? And let's take a break for a track of music and then come back with some distillation of some of the practical advice that you have put into both of your books, which you brought into the studio with us today. But let's distill some of that so that listeners have some how-tos to think about and to go away with. We're going to play a track by David Bowie. It's Can You Hear Me? From the album Young Americans.
We're open for business life.
is Business Live, Sheffield Live's weekly business and social enterprise programme with me, Jamie Veitch. We're broadcasting live from the Sheffield Live studio in the showroom workstation. And in the studio with us today, Rob Drummond. He describes himself as a stoic northern grump, but he's been pretty cheerful with us this morning so far. Rob, thanks so much for coming in. And you've been giving us some fascinating insights into marketing automation. That's become a buzz phrase. And it's a buzz phrase which I think is often misused in practical terms as well. But you've been talking about what people perhaps need to think about in terms of the philosophy of using marketing in automation systems and choice. You've been talking about whether we should all do marketing in the same way as big corporates do it or not. The change from broadcast type marketing to nurturing type of marketing. And particularly, you brought in copies of both of your books, Simple Story Selling and The Marketing Nurture System. Now tell us, what do you mean by a system of nurturing? How does that work?
So there's a thing that's happening, I think, more widely in the world. So within the context of what I do, which is helping people communicate their uniqueness by telling better stories, that isn't a conventional job. You won't see that down in Job Center Plus. And it's a very real thing in the world today where all of the kind of conventional jobs that you can create processes for, so everything ranging from being a doctor to a vet to working in Asda, those jobs essentially are decreasing in number or becoming more competitive. But the opportunities to blaze your own trail and set up something for yourself and do something unique for a specific group of people that you want to serve, the opportunities to do that has dramatically exploded as enabled by the internet. But as soon as you get into that sort of business, you need to communicate your value. And it's not a case of just saying, oh, I'm a plumber or I'm a dentist, and everyone just going, oh, yeah. Like, it's like you normally have to explain certain things about what you're doing to people who are a good fit for your products and services. And that isn't a quick conversation. So you need a system for taking people from their current level of understanding to the point where they are ready and able to place an order with you. And what is very tempting to do is it's very tempting. So take my business, for example. I sell effectively copywriting services. The obvious thing for me to do would be just to sell expensive copywriting projects. But it isn't really the starting point, because in the beginning, people, I have to explain about storytelling. I have to explain all of my grumpy opinions about the marketing industry. And until people get all of that, we can't have the conversation about my projects. So there needs to be a system that gets people from their current level of understanding, where they're chasing marketing shiny objects and buying $1,000 systems to sit on the beach. That we need to get from that to the point where we can have a grown-up conversation about what I want to talk about. So you need a system to do that, because you have to break it into steps. So in my book, The Marketing Nurture System, I break it into four stages. So the first stage, just to give people a sample of what's in the book, the first stage is lead generation. So lead generation is stuff where you don't pay for it. So like this interview, you know, people listening to this haven't paid for it. It's just the first point of contact to bring you into my world. The second stage is then nurture. So some people listening to this will hopefully buy my book. Some people will end up on my email list. That is then nurture. So nurture can be paid, as in the book. It cannot be paid. So my emails aren't, you know, I don't charge for the emails, but I do charge for the books. There's then training. So then training would be specific how-to stuff. And then there's what I call the Harley Davidson sale, which is the eventual product that I actually want to sell. And people who are selling these unique high-value services are trying to go straight for the Harley-Davidson sale, whereas actually it's more efficient to build segments in between where you have nurture stages, you have training stages, you have lead generation stages. So that's what a marketing nurture system is. It's figuring out for your audience, for your business, what is the marketing nurture system that you need to build to generate a consistent flow of clients.
Okay, so that is the system, and the system is supported throughout all of it by appropriate and unique stories and stories that support what is unique and different about you. Now you have gone through a process, an iterative process in your own business development, business learning. You've talked about some of it, and knocking on doors and being asked to do one thing and doing that, and then going to a networking group and being asked well, we've already got someone who does that. This, can you do that? And going into the world that you now inhabit, if you like. You talked about the type of clients that you work with, selling transformational products or services, and why you like working with them, and they're building a relationship of trust over time themselves with their clients in the same way as you are with your...
And they become an extension of my life, because when I work with a client, I invest my time and therefore my life into their business. So if they're not doing something that I'm highly excited about, that isn't transformational, I don't want to work on it. I'm an investor in their business, basically.
Yes. So you're not... This isn't just transactional, you being paid to do something. This is your life and your time too.
That's right.
You want to work with people who... their values and your values have...
I have to buy into why they're doing what they're doing, because that becomes an extension of my purpose.
Now, that's a really good lesson, isn't it, as well, for all sorts of people, not only in marketing or in, say, business consultancy, but in far more areas of business as well, particularly if you're selling your time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we all act like time is infinite, and you very quickly learn that time is not infinite.
Indeed.
And you have to work with the right clients. And I think there's no real way around that. You have to kiss a few frogs. I've had my fair share of nightmare clients, but you have to have those clients to realize that you don't want to.
Yeah, you have to make the mistakes as well, don't you, I think, as well to learn from them. Okay. Now, Rob Drummond, on a mission to help people who are doing great work to tell better stories about what they do. We've got about 2 minutes left. I'm not sure where the time's gone. As you say, we all act like time is infinite.
That's
it's
right.
Not. But what a brilliant radio show it's been. I'm so glad
we've really enjoyed it.
Thanks
for having
me. Studio today. Thank you so much. So some key messages, key notes to end on. First of all, people, of course, can sign up to some emails from you, or can get a copy of your analysis of the different tools, or can get hold of your book. There are lots of things that people could do for and can get some information for free from your website, or can buy a copy of your book. Where do they go?
So the thing that everyone listening needs to do is they need to go to truestoryselling.com. On the homepage, there is a video that you can watch and a form underneath that video. When you fill in that form, I'll add you to my email list. I'll send you a free chapter of Simple Story Selling, and you'll also get a copy of my email marketing tool review.
Right, brilliant. So you can get something for free from Rob, a free chapter of his book, an email marketing tool review. Go to his website. Website address again, Rob.
TrueStorySelling.com.
Brilliant. Okay, well, that's been absolutely fantastic. Thanks so much for coming in today, Rob. And you're an archer as well, aren't you?
I am, yes.
Indeed. So longbow, I believe.
I am, although I need to go and buy a new longbow because I snapped mine last weekend.
Oh, painful.
Which was really sad.
It must have been sad.
Yes.
You weren't injured, though, fortunately.
I wasn't injured.
But there's a lot of power in a longbow.
There is. Yeah. There is, yeah. So...
Well, I guess it's going to be a pretty bittersweet experience today.
But it means I get to go shopping, and archery shopping is the only shopping that I enjoy.
So. Fair enough. Okay, well, Rob Drummond, True Story Selling, thanks so much for coming in today. And listeners, check out Rob's website, truestoryselling.com, and grab a copy of his email marketing tool review and much, much more. Rob, thank you.
Thank you, Jeremy.
You've been listening to Business Live, Sheffield Live's weekly business and social enterprise programme with me, Jamie Veitch. You can be on the show or put yourself or someone else forward to be on the show if you want to. Or you can get in touch and comment on something we've been talking about, or on policy at a national level or a local level and how it impacts or affects you. All you need to do is email jamie@sheffieldlive.org, send a text to 07 904 272 200. Find me, Jamie Veitch, on Twitter. Find Sheffield Live on Twitter as well. Next week, there's an event called BizFest, Thursday the 13th of July, 4 p.m. till 7 p.m, Hilton Sheffield Hotel and the canal. There'll be a barbecue right by the canal, and workshops, discussions, and much, much more. I'll tweet the link to that at the when I finish the programme from my Twitter account, Jamie Veitch. That's it for this week. But don't go away, because next up on Sheffield Live is our fantastic folk music programme. Thank goodness it's folk, from 10 all the way through to noon with Sam Hindley and friends. It's always a brilliant show. I'm sure it'll be a brilliant show today. Thanks so much, Rob Drummond, for coming into the studio today. Thank you all for listening. And thanks, Sangeeta, in the studio with me as sound engineer. We're going to play out with a little bit of Talking Heads. This is Nothing But Flowers.
We're open for business life.